and correcting what godly marriage is and God-ordained marriage, one man, one woman. And he corrected everything and put everything in place. Of course, the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus, as always, and try to throw in little zingers and little questions to try to trip him up. But Jesus is God. We can't fool God. And so this morning, as we look at this section of Scripture, I want to be reminded, all of us, what 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. That's God's heart, that all would come to know him. And as we look at the section of Scripture this morning out of Mark, we will be looking at chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We'll have one of the ushers bring you one. We'd love to have you follow along with us. So if you need a Bible, just slip your hand up. We'll get you one. And while you're turning to Mark chapter 10, as I was mentioning earlier, it's important that we realize this morning that the gospel is for everyone. It's not on some high shelf. Chuck Smith used to say this. He used to say, don't put the gospel where the giraffes are going to eat it, but put it down on the bottom shelf where the sheep can eat it. You know, and it's so important to remember this. I'm also a youth pastor here at Calvary Chapel, Palm Desert. And of course, being a youth pastor, I deal with a lot of little kids up to the big kids. And it's no shock that I'm going to bring to you this morning a message about the children. This is a calling God's put on my heart to help guide and to love these children and do all that God has given me and every tool he's given me to use to lead children to the knowledge and the truth of Jesus. And so this morning we're going to be looking at God's perspective of young as well as old. So as we prepare our hearts, I want to encourage you this morning, before we even start and before we get into prayer, I want to encourage you this morning to just, whatever you're going through this morning, whatever situation you're in, whatever expectations you have this morning, whatever your needs are this morning, perhaps you're waiting to hear from God on some important matter in your life, something intense that's happening to you right now. I want to encourage you this morning that just cast everything down right now at the foot of the cross. That you would just cast all your concepts and preconceived ideas or notions of what the Word of God is going to say this morning. And that we would, as children, come to the Lord as children and sit at his feet this morning. Just open and willing to receive what God has for us and not have any expectations. Just remove it all. Remove it all. Give it all to him right now. And so we're going to open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into God's word together. So Father, we thank you this morning. We are so blessed to be here this morning, Lord. And as we get into your precious word, which is truth, Lord, I pray that even right now, Lord, we would just lay everything down, Lord, at the foot of the cross. Just say, here, Lord, take this. Take this. I want to hear from you this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that our hearts would come into unity right now, Lord, into one accord, that we would come here to sit at the feet of Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would do a work within our hearts, that we would be teachable. Lord, that you would give us simple understanding this morning of your truth. We love you and we praise you this morning, and we commit everything in your word and in our hearts we give to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, we're at a section in Scripture right now where Jesus had just finished talking about marriage and divorce. Very important section of Scripture, and I encourage that all married couples, or if you plan on being married soon, I encourage you to read through this section. But after Jesus is done teaching about marriage and how God instituted marriage, it's God ordained between a man, one man, one woman, and how what God has put together, no man can tear apart. It's a sanctity. It's a forever seal. The two become one. And he was bringing all this to light. But then what happens is this amazing thing takes place. Is Jesus is teaching to the multitude about marriage of all things. It goes on to say, and I'll read from verse 13 to 16. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid hands on them, and blessed them. As I mentioned earlier, I believe this is probably one of the most profound sections of Scripture we find in the Gospel. The reason being is, number one, after the teaching on marriage, we see this section here where it starts out that they brought the little children. And sometimes in Scripture, it's good to do word studies, find the original language, find the content, the tone in which it's spoken, because it's very important this morning. And I don't want to pass this up this morning as we look at those two words, they brought. They brought in the original Greek is prosphero. It is a masculine word. It means to lead with strength. Why is this important? Because when it says that they brought, these were the fathers bringing their children. These were the men bringing their children to Jesus. There is this great amount of burden in this country right now, this epidemic, if you will. Of course, it's a sin epidemic we're dealing with. But what we're dealing with right now is an epidemic of where's dad? Where's dad? I see it all the time, not just in the church. I see it out when I'm out and about running errands, meeting people. Could be at Mission Hills, talking to someone there. I see this all the time, and especially the guys at NCIC who go to juvenile hall every week, they really see this in a very real way. They say that in the juvenile hall system in America, at least 85% of the young men in there are from a fatherless home. With no men to lead them, no men to guide them. And so I don't want to sit too long on this section, but I think it's all too important to know as we're reading this section how important it is, fathers, grandfathers, to lead your children to Jesus, to point them to Jesus. It is commanded throughout all of Scripture, even in the Old Testament, the importance to teach your children and raise them up and point them to Jesus. And so here we see, after the talks on and teachings on marriage, and there must have been some conviction there, because here come the dads bringing their children to Jesus. If we look back in the Old Testament, we can see that there are many commands to teach our children. In fact, if you'd like to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if not, I'll read it. But I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 4 to 9. This is where the Lord is instituting the Shema. It's the prayer, the command from God. In fact, it's still known as the greatest commandment to the Jews, but also to us. Verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. How does this apply to us today? We are to talk about Jesus. Whether we're sitting at the table, whether we're getting kids ready for school, whether we're eating breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever event we're doing with our kids and with our loved ones, our family, we are to talk about Jesus. You know, all our conversations should have Jesus in there somewhere. He is to be talked about all the time. And the commandment from God is that we are to, even as we rise up, when we go to sleep, as we go to work, whatever we do, to teach our children to talk about Jesus. And why is that so awesome this morning with the scripture when is these fathers that are bringing their children to Jesus right now, they're bringing their children to Jesus so that Jesus can speak life into their hearts. They saw the power. They knew and they believed that Jesus was the answer. This was the Son of God. This was God. And the fathers knew that. They didn't know anything else. There was no doctrinal study. They didn't go to Bible college. They did not study the blue letter Bible. They did not study and study and study and study and read commentaries. And they didn't walk with the Lord for 20, 30, 40 years. These men simply knew that I need to bring my children to Jesus. And it's so important for us to know that this truth, it still exists today. We need to bring our children to Jesus. And I'm not just speaking to parents, but grandparents. And even if you have no children, I know you have loved ones in your life. Maybe an uncle, maybe you're an aunt. You know, you could just have friends who you're like family to, and they have children. You have an obligation to share the Lord and to lead the children to Jesus. And what stops us from doing this is our preconceived ideas of who Jesus is. We sometimes, especially when we've been walking with the Lord for a while, or we study a lot, and I'm guilty because I study a lot. But sometimes I just need to throw all that knowledge aside and just throw it out the window. Because the truth of the matter is, none of my knowledge and none of my wisdom and nothing good is coming from me. But my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ is going to be the thing that shows people that Jesus is the truth. It's a work that God is doing. It's a work that God has done on the cross. It's all Him. And oftentimes, our knowledge and our ideas of what God is going to do next can get in the way of just that simple truth that we need to come to Jesus. We need to come to Jesus. So when I got saved, I was strung out on meth. I was strung out on drugs. I was on medications. I mean, it was horrible. Just living in sin and completely in bondage. But when I cried out to the Lord, it was on my knees, and it was a cry from my heart saying, Lord, if you're real, change my life and save me, please. And I believed in my heart that God was real and that He was going to do a work in my life. I didn't know how. All I knew is I needed Jesus. I knew it. And I know it was a work that God did on my heart. I know that it was my parents who were in tears praying for their son and loved ones who were praying for me. And God delivered me from that. And I came to Jesus. I didn't know anything about doctrine. I didn't know what a gospel was. I was so messed up in my brain, I didn't even know what a chapter was. I was a dropout in high school. Uneducated to the world. But God had a plan for my life and a work that God is doing in my life. He is doing this work. It's not my knowledge. It's nothing I'm doing. And then the same holds true for all of you this morning. And that's why I encourage you, if you're going through something this morning and if you're in a place in your life right now where you're waiting to hear from the Lord, I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus is already here. He has never left your side. God is doing a work in your life. If you don't, you might not see it right now. But as we look at Scripture this morning, we're going to see that God is working in our lives. He is working on our behalf. Jesus is interceding for us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day, we have Jesus interceding for us in prayer. He's at the right hand of the Father, and He's praying for us this morning. And we're going to see in this Scripture here this morning how important it is that we come to Jesus open-hearted, like children. You know, not just as a youth pastor and as a father, but as a man of God, as a child of God, saved by Him, the importance of discussing and having conversations about Jesus is so important in our lives. I'm not saying to go out and be a Ray Comfort out on the street witnessing and you know, sometimes it's just a hug. Sometimes it's just, I love you. I'm praying for you. Love always breaks through the stony heart. That's why Paul told us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, he told us, yes, all these other gifts are great. God gives us many gifts. He says, but apart from love and without love, they're nothing. He says, at the end of that section in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, he said, yes, abide in these, faith, hope, and love. But what do you say? The greatest of these is love. And so in order to have that love and be ready to have that open heart, we need to come as children to the Lord. You know, Proverbs 22:6 tells us that if we train up a child in the way that he should go, and this is a promise from God, if we speak Jesus into our children and we continue to talk about the Lord and we continue to show them the truth, when it says that, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And many of you deal with children who are gone astray, prodigals who have walked away. This is a promise from God that they will not depart from it. It says, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There are seasons when our children can go astray. There are seasons when it seems like, when are they going to come back to the truth? I know many of you in here, and I know many who have children who have gone astray, and they're still praying for them. Don't stop. Because I know many of you have spoken life into these children, and you have led them in the way they should go. And the promise from God is, yeah, they might backslide. They might go their own direction. But the promise from God is, in the end, they will not depart from it. And that's a promise of security from God. That's His promise to you. And so another encouragement this morning, if you're here and you have children who have gone astray, God promises they will not depart. He will bring them back. He says it in His Word. It's a promise from God. You know, it's almost as if, it's like that story we read in 2 Kings chapter 4. I love sharing the story with the kids, and it's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament and accounts in the Old Testament. When we read in 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a young man who is studying under Elijah, right? And Elijah sends this young man out to gather herbs and get all these herbs together to make a stew because there was a famine in the land. There was a major famine in the land. And so this young man, this disciple of Elijah, he goes and gathers all the herbs, he makes a stew, and then the men go to eat it. They take a bite and they spit it out and they start crying, there's death in this pot, there's death in this pot, right? It was horrible. They couldn't eat it. It was bitter. It was poison, the Bible says. But Elijah said, as the guys were getting ready to dump it out, Elijah said, no, 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 wait, wait, wait. Elijah said, bring me some flour. And he poured this flour into the pot. And it says that then the food was edible. The poison was gone. And they were able to eat it. And I believe in that this is the key to ministering as parents. Our children are being indoctrinated now around the world with poison. But we have the awesome privilege, the responsibility, and the power of the Spirit of God working in us to pour flour into that pot, so to speak. To take what is poison and to pour good into it. And what's going to happen is that poison is going to become good. The Word of God is powerful. And when we come with love, when we talk about Jesus with love, amazing things happen. God does amazing, incredible works. It was a miracle. You know, here they were, hungry. And this young man made this stew. And it wasn't edible. It was poison. Yet Elijah is the leader. Said, bring it here, young man. Let me pour good into this. Let me put something good into here and turn this poison and make it good. That's the ministry of mom and dad. To speak life, to speak good into the poison. I deal with it. I have five kids. I had to count for a second there. I have five kids now. But our oldest, our two oldest, they're dealing with a lot of garbage in the schools. You know, they really are. Even in the elementary school with our little girl Faith and our son Tristan, they're just being completely indoctrinated. Even their school is honoring the Harvey Milk Day, where they're going to have an assembly for the kids to honor him. I won't get too far into that. I have my own opinion there. And needless to say, our kids will not be in school that day. The enemy is doing a work right now. And he's trying to captivate children. Because if you captivate the children, you've captivated the future. And the children are the future of the church. The children are the future of the witnessing for Christ. There's a big calling on their life. The enemy knows it. We should know that too. Back to the section of Scripture, though. It says that these men brought their children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Isn't that ironic? Here come the fathers with their sons, and you would think that the ones who would say, yeah, bring them, are the very ones saying, hey, no, you can't bring those kids in here. Sometimes we get that way too. We can become almost legalistic and believing that the children can't come into this gospel. The children don't understand this. Folks, I have seen amazing things with children in youth ministry. And suffice to say, I have seen faith. I have seen faith that is so incredible, I have yet to see it in the adult church. And it's coming from little children. No, they don't know the whole doctrine. They don't understand salvation all the way. They don't have a grip on, you know, the propitiation of sin. They don't know any of that stuff. But what they do know is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. They know that. They know that Jesus loves them. We need to have that childlike faith this morning. Remember, it doesn't matter what your age is this morning. To God, you are His child. And I want to encourage you this morning to just remember, no matter where you're at right now, no matter what's going on in your life, that Jesus loves you. He loves you. The disciples were with Jesus for a time already. They had been a witness to what Jesus was doing, and having get this group going that nobody else could be a part of. That happens in the all too often. We can that nobody else can be a part of. I've seen it. Folks, we have no right to deny anything being a part of what God has given us. And listen what Jesus says to the disciples. He saw it, and he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them God." Is this cutting out?
Praise God. So going back to Jesus' response when the disciples thought they would stop the children from coming to him, his response is incredible. Look at the heart of God here. Number one, he was greatly displeased. He was displeased by the actions of his disciples. And we too, as adults, we can become the same way. We can try to refuse someone from coming to what we have. And back to what I was talking about, having a click going. You know, when I was at NCIC, a discipleship ministry, that was a big warning. When guys would start huddling up, I'm like, you know, Mike was a leader there for a long time. He dealt with a lot of knuckleheads. When they start gathering in the threes and fours, it was never good. But we too, in the church, we have to be careful not to get our little cliques going. It's good to have fellowship and have those friends who you have the sweet fellowship with. But if it's always that same group of people, then the question is, and I say this in all love, is who are you reaching out to with the gospel of Jesus? Or are you just filling each other up? It's important. Don't think you've attained anything yet. We haven't. And it's God's work that God is doing, because Jesus paid the price to do this work. You know, we are bought by the blood of Christ. We are his. We don't have the right to get into our own cliques. We don't have that right. And it's so important we reach out in the church. I'm excited this year for the youth ministry. I'm very excited. Some doors are opening up, and we're going to get the kids out to the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission, the narrow door. We're going to get the kids out there serving together, and I'm really excited about that, because one of the greatest things you can do for sweet fellowship is serve together. When you're in the trenches together, and you're serving, and you're giving of yourself, and you're with others who are doing the same thing, it's a beautiful thing, and I'm excited. God is opening some doors this year. I'm really excited for the kids. But Jesus was displeased by this action. And then he says this amazingly profound statement. He says, "Let these little children come to me. Don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." And then Jesus goes on to say, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Wow. Wow. He will by no means enter it. How important is it to have childlike faith? Not to be childish, that's not what he's saying. But we are to be childlike. We are to have that assurance and that trust in Jesus. If you have children, you know this. The dependency of children to their parents, and how much the children depend on us. Right? Especially when it comes to food. You remember when you were a child? If you don't have little ones now, or you haven't, but you remember when you were a child, when it was dinner time? Somehow there was dinner on that table. Right? When you kids go into the refrigerator, they just know that somehow there's something to drink or eat. that somehow mom and dad will just have food for them. They don't question, next week, where's the milk going to come from? I know. I wish the children would have that heart. The truth. parents, you know what I'm talking about. They just go and they know it's there. And if you have teenagers, the teenagers know this truth all too well. It's like Jesus making the loaves for the 5,000. They just come in and it's gone. But hey, it came back, you know. But kids, they have this trust that they know they're going to be provided for. They don't question it. But yet, how many times do we as adults in our faith with Jesus, how many times do we have to question him instead of simply just trusting him and knowing he's going to provide? He's going to provide all we need. It's good to seek the Lord in prayer. It is good. It's good to ask him for direction. It's good to have communication with the Lord. I'm not saying don't. But what I'm saying is we can rest in the fact that God is going to provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. He's going to provide a way for that child to come back. He is going to provide a way to meet that financial need that you're struggling with. He's going to find a way to provide that job that you've been praying about. You know, Jesus told the disciples, he said, look at the birds of the air. They have their nests. The beasts of the field, they have food. All these things. He said, but how much more so for you that God is going to provide all you need? He's going to provide your food. He's going to provide the means you need to support your family and take care of your family. But what we have to do is we have to trust in him. As children, trust in their parents. It's the childlike faith. And this is such a radical statement for the Lord to make, because these were the disciples that were walking with Jesus. And I can almost see it. It's like, you know, almost when Jesus says this, almost a, not me. I'm not making it into the kingdom. But Lord, sometimes our knowledge puffs us up into a place where we're missing out on the blessings of God. Like I said, God is not telling us to be childish here. Paul makes that clear, to put away childish things. But we are to be childlike in our faith. These children were being brought to Jesus on the simple faith that he was Jesus. He can do anything. He's Jesus. How often do we have that same faith, though? We can attain that this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. As somebody who works with children a lot, that we would just lay down some burdens we've been carrying for a while because God hasn't answered this, or maybe he hasn't provided this yet. I want to encourage you this morning that God is working that out in your life. Nothing goes unnoticed from the Lord. Nothing. You know, it's even our salvation itself. You know, the moment I confessed my sins to the Lord and said, Lord, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, before I could finish saying it, I was saved. I believed in him. And I still believe in him. I trust in him. He is the love of my life. My wife is the second love of my life. I love Jesus. He's been good to me. He has been good to all of us. We need to have that childlike faith where we would come and just sit at his feet with no preconceived ideas of what God's going to do, just as his children. Lord, I love you, and I know you're going to take care of me. And what that does for us, it lightens the burden we've been carrying. And I know you know what I'm talking about. That burden of wait as we're waiting. That burden of long suffering. that burden of carrying hurt and pain. God doesn't desire us to carry that. We're not designed to carry that stuff. And that is why another reason that God sent his son Jesus, that he would take those burdens and those worries and those cares, and we could cast them upon him because he cares for us. And as children, we just trust, we believe. And we see that a lot in the youth ministry. As the kids get older, into their teens, sometimes the childlike faith starts to get interrupted with knowledge. We see that too. We can't stop being like children to the Lord. We must be like children to him. And that means that we also don't have the right to make God into this image that suits us. We don't have the right to make God into an ATM God or some big unattainable sky God. We don't have the right to say who God is. God has told us in his word who he is. We're just to trust him. As children trust their parents, we're to trust him. Childlike faith, complete trust and complete dependence upon God. And when we do that, we can then enjoy the fullness of God that is mentioned all through Scripture. See, the way of the kingdom, as we're going to read here this morning, he says that, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will not enter it. The way of the kingdom is not the way of understanding or explaining, but the way of the kingdom is the enjoying the fullness of the Lord. Sometimes we have a tendency when we try to explain things too much. You know, as children, we see children upstairs right now. You know what they're doing? They're enjoying their Bible study. They're laughing and they're probably playing a game up there and talking about Scripture, and they're enjoying themselves. They can't explain much out of the Bible. You know, well, some of them can. Some of the kids are gifted. But they can't explain much, but they are enjoying life. And sometimes as we get older, it flips around on us. And we start explaining life instead of enjoying life. God wants you to enjoy the fullness that he has for you. The joy that he has for you. I love what Habakkuk said in chapter 3, verse 18. He says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice and have joy in the God of my salvation. When we trust in the Lord and we depend on the Lord and we just as children sit at his feet, then the joy comes into our life. Great joy comes into our life. Psalm 16:11 says that you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And how do we come into his presence? As children. A childlike faith. See, Jesus just destroyed any notion to the disciples that anybody's puffed up above the other. He just leveled the playing ground right there. He made it very simple that we are to come to him as children. Know our place with the Lord. That we are bought by his precious blood and we are his children. Folks like these little children we read here, when we do come to Jesus and we experience that joy, that fullness that God has for us, there's another amazing thing we find there at the feet of Jesus. We find forgiveness there. We find mercy. We find grace. We find salvation. We find the forgiveness of our sins. We discover that the truth of the gospel is simply that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There's nothing that you can do in your life or that you have done that will make God love you any less or make him love you any more. Jesus is in love with you. He adores you. And he wants to spend eternity with you. What an amazing God that he would call sinners like all of us to his glorious kingdom. But we have to come. No matter what you've done in life, no matter where you're at right now in your life, Jesus is ready to meet you. But we have to be ready to meet him. You see, the children here, as they crawled up on Jesus, it says here in verse 16 that Jesus, he then took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Amazing section right here. Amazing verse right here. Nowhere in Scripture, nowhere else, did Jesus embrace into the arms, lay hands on, and bless. Nowhere else. The children. He lifted up into his arms, embraced them, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Jesus desires to do the same thing for us today. One day, when we see Jesus face to face, you know what's going to happen? He's going to embrace us. He's going to lay his hands upon us. And he is going to bless us when he says, enter into the kingdom, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. But we have to have childlike faith to get there. Our knowledge and our wisdom and our experience and everything that we are on the outside, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. We need to have childlike faith and trusting in Jesus. You know, oftentimes when we give an opportunity to come to the Lord, we have seen pride enter in so many times. Pride comes in many forms. Pride isn't only thinking maybe too much of yourself, that you don't need this, you know, this Jesus. Pride is also thinking too little of yourself, that you don't deserve him. You know, the enemy is good at that. And you know, there's truth behind that statement. We don't deserve him. We don't deserve forgiveness. But God's grace demands that we get forgiveness. His grace and his love and his mercy demand that we are saved and we are washed clean by the blood of Christ. By nothing we've done. Spurgeon made this statement on pride. He said, the greatest enemy to the human soul is the self-righteous spirit, which makes men look to themselves for salvation. So this morning, the question comes up as we get ready to wrap things up this morning. Where do you stand with the Lord? A better question with the scripture we're in is, where are you sitting with the Lord? I want to encourage you this morning to come to Jesus. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done in life. But one of these things, as we're talking about God's grace and his mercy and love, one of the things he demands is that we believe in him. It's part of the deal. The salvation package, if you will. We have to believe in him. And so this morning, if you would like to pray, and you would like to be forgiven of all your sins, washed clean, maybe you're carrying burdens around, the weight of burden you messed up in life. It doesn't matter. God is going to meet you right where you're at this morning. And so as we close this morning, I'd like to give you an invitation to receive the greatest gift ever given in this world, the salvation, the gift of Jesus. And if you'd like to pray and receive Jesus this morning and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, I'd like you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you this morning. You know, time is too short to just sit by and wait. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all who are heavy burdened, who are weak. And so if you'd like to pray and receive Jesus this morning, I would like you to slip your hand up. It's not a confession to men. It's a proclamation to God Almighty that you're ready to trust him. And so if that's you this morning, slip your hand up as we close. We want to know that you're saved. Jesus loves you. Man, don't let pride get in the way. Receive that forgiveness. Doesn't matter where you're at. He loves you. I'm going to call the worship team up, and I would like to call the elders to come up. And we're going to open it up to prayer. If you'd like to come up for prayer this morning. Now, maybe you want to recommit your life to the Lord. Maybe you're just going through some struggles and you need some prayer. Well, we love you here, and we have elders here who are willing and love to pray with you. And so what I'd like to do is call the elders up and have them come up here. We'll try to get maybe two groups, guys, one for each side. And we want to pray for you if you need prayer. As the worship team plays, if you want to stay and just worship and love on the Lord, we encourage you to. If you need to get up and go and do something, you can do that. We're having fellowship cafe upstairs. But maybe you just want to sit where you're at and talk to the Lord. It's convicting this morning. All our knowledge and everything we thought we knew just kind of got leveled out again, didn't it? The Lord has a loving way to do that, to take what we know and just wipe it all out and say, no, come as a child. And so if you need prayer this morning, we encourage you to come up as the worship team plays. We love you, but more importantly than that, Jesus loves you. And so if you need prayer, come on up. We're going to continue to worship the Lord together. You can stay seated as we worship.